APT Services presents episode 16 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
What was that stupid voice all about?
I don't know, I got excited.
Don't know why.
Well, thanks, I can't get excited about this podcast then, obviously. Fine, I'm not excited ever again.
I think
again.
The excitement might be better illustrated if you actually talked somewhere near the microphone. Instead of sort of over there.
Hi.
So anyway, we have a show note situation going on, so without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. Well, the disciplinary system is still in place here, as we mentioned in the last episode.
I've lost my phone.
Oh, interesting. Today's show, we will be looking back, because I said we're going to go over each season of Doctor Who from start to finish, but I thought it might be a good idea if we also did the genesis of Doctor Who, as in what happened before the series started. So, and I did actually write some blurb on that fact, which
no.
I shall be reading out.
Oh, no.
Warning. There you go. Straight into a warning. Straight away. And how long has the podcast been running? And you're straight in with your first warning after 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Yeah, but I don't want to listen to you with the blurb.
Tough, it's happening. This is a Doctor Who podcast.
Yep,
we talk about Doctor Who.
It's called boring.
So, warning. You're on your first warning. So, let me just let you know. Moving on now. I viewed the Revenge of the Cybermen and Silver Nemesis box set. Didn't actually watch the episodes. But I did, as I always do in these instances, look at all the extras that are on there. And I have to say, these stories are not particularly highly recommended amongst the fans. But they have fortunately put the best extra ever to appear on second warning on a box set.
What? You copied and pasted this, didn't you?
No, I wrote it. Yes, the selling point, though, as I say, is this bonus feature documentary, which is the best I think that's ever appeared on a Doctor Who DVD, and it's called Checks, Lives and Videotape. In the programme, they talk to fans about their efforts in the past, before we had DVDs and videos. They had the efforts they had to go to watch old Doctor Who stories before and during the birth of home video. Right? I myself became a huge Doctor Who fan during this surgence of home video, i.e. the Peter Davison era, and I bought the VHS Revenge of the Cybermen, which is one of the stories featured in the box set. And it was also the first VHS video ever to be released. And I watched it over and over and over again because it was the only one I had. I got friends to record the Davison stories before I got my own video player, such as Resurrection of the Daleks and Caines of Androzani when they actually went out. And the funny thing is, I was getting people to record Doctor Who before I had a means to play the episodes. And a lot of Doctor Who fans did the same thing. I got people to record episodes. And apparently on the documentary itself, that one chap said his dad got a friend who owned a store that sold VHS video machines to record Doctor Who for his son. Like I say, I rented my first video recorder in 1985, and that enabled me to record Colin Baker's first full season. But I was hungry for old Doctor Who, which wasn't available. And my friend Dorian Holmes introduced me to someone who he knew as a Doctor Who fan, and that was Alistair Pearson. And through him, I started collecting ropey old recordings of Doctor Who, just like the ones featured in the documentary. But finally, the BBC began releasing stories regularly on video. Also, B Sky B started broadcasting the whole classic series, and before long, my collection was complete. Then it resided in a damp old cupboard for many years, and most of the tapes went mouldy, so the collection had to be chucked away. But now it's been replaced by DVD. What an expensive process it is being a Doctor Who fan sometimes, Alicia. Not for you, because obviously you're not a Doctor Who fan, are you?
What? Can I wake up now?
Anyway, listeners, if you had any similar experiences, obviously you have to be probably between the age of 35 and upwards to actually have experienced the problems we had in acquiring old Doctor episodes, I'll be happy to hear about them. We'll read them out on the show next week.
I would like to hear from a 13-year-old who listens to this song. Because there's no, like, young people who's...
Yeah, I think you'll find the 13-year-olds who listen to the show are actually interested in the subject matter, Alicia.
Yeah, why don't they send feedback, then?
Well, they probably do, they just don't state their age. I know one of our listeners is quite young, and I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, shall we move on to feedback?
Who's Dave Healy?
Hingley.
Hingley.
Can I read the feedback?
Yes, Dad.
And as Alicia has just mentioned, Dave Hingley sent, managed to listen to the entire episode this time. He's the one that used to listen 25 minutes at a time. And he said, entertaining stuff. I've been inspired by your search for the sixth Doctor doll. Sorry, I mean action figure. And I look forward to the next 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Regards. Now, we will move straight on now, because Dave is the chap who's developed...
A brilliant game. I love it. I found him last night.
You found him last night?
I found the Colin Baker last night. I couldn't find him the first time, and I found him the second time.
Yeah, well, we're just about to illustrate that.
Can I play it?
No.
Can I play it?
No, let me continue, please. Dave has been inspired by the show, because last week we had where we had all the 11 Doctor Who figures. One went missing. It got left upstairs, and Isabella went and found it, and it was a Colin Baker doll. I'm calling it a doll now, figure. Mm. So Dave thought it'd be a good idea to make up a computer game in relation to that. I shall give you the URL later on as to how to find the game. But I'm now going to run the program on my computer.
Mm.
It's called... it's just running up the opening title sequence, which is www.titaniumbunker.com. Which is obviously his...
website.
Yes. Here it is. It's called Where in the World is Doctor Who? I'm sorry if the music's a bit loud. I will play it, actually. Thank you.
No,
you played it last.
Play
shush! Now, when you open it up, you get a map of the world with little dots on it, and you've got to click on a dot to find where Colin Baker is. And when you click on a dot, like I'm just about to do, it asks you a question. Which musical instrument did the second Doctor play? Was it
recorder.
A flute, B, recorder, or C, accordion? So click on recorder. And that's right. And then you click on another one, for instance, here in the middle of the United States. What historical event took place at the climax of the 1966 story, The Gunfighters? It was C, The Gunfighter, though. Okay, correct. You want some Jammy Dodgers, do you? Right, well, I'll come back to that in a minute, Alicia. Isabella. Sorry. Let's go to New Zealand. Which one of these actors has not played the Doctor? Peter Davison, Alan Davison.
Oh, I don't care.
Let's go to Moscow.
Me.
You? You haven't played the Doctor?
Yeah.
What possession of the sixth Doctor did Perry break in on Netflix?
Moscow.
No, it was Pocket Watch.
Pocket Watch,
yeah. Right, now we're stuck in the middle of the sea now, so let's go to one of those North American ones. Okay, I lost a life. Let's try this one there now. I don't know where this is. Oh, here we go. Who was the old friend of the sixth Doctor who was buried on Necros? Ben Jackson, Arthur Stank.
Jackson.
No, I don't think so. I think it was that one.
Ha ha.
I got that one wrong. I've got four lives left. Oh dear, three lives left.
One life.
Two lives left. Hang on, where should we go? It's the middle of the sea. What's this one down there? I've got one life left. I think I'm just about to lose this game. Oh, let's try the Falklands. Oh, in which episode did the Cybermen debut? 10th Planet, Silver Nemesis, or Age of Steel?
This one.
No, that's wrong. It's 10th Planet.
This one.
One life left.
Yes.
See, Alicia actually found Colin Baker yesterday. I think I'm going to fail. Oh, there we go. What vegetable does the 5th Doctor wear as decoration?
This one.
No, celery.
This one.
Right, still surviving my last chance. Oh, dear, I lost.
Lisa.
So there we go. That's, that's the Where in the World is Colin Baker game.
I've moved to my seat now.
And hello, Isabella. Hello, Isabella.
Hello.
Right, anyway.
We're recording the Doctor Who podcast, Isabella. Say hello.
Hello.
She just did say hello. So that's the feedback. That's Dave Hingley. I'll let you know a bit more information about that game in a minute, because it's probably a bit further
Dad,
down this
I've got something in my eye.
It's your finger. If you get your finger out of your eye, then you've got nothing in your eye, haven't you?
I have got nothing in my eye.
Okay. So we have another feedback from Lee. It says, Adam, I enjoyed the rundown of the DW-related podcast very much. Like you, I've been wondering what happened to the DWO WhoCast. Hopefully your posing the question would lead to an answer of some kind. Now, I have got an answer to that because I asked Paul Wilson himself as to what's been going on. No, on Facebook. And his dad isn't very well, so obviously he's got other priorities in relation to his life rather than doing podcasts. So we wish him and his family very, very, very well. You know, and
it's, get well soon.
Indeed, it's his dad.
Yeah, so get well soon, his dad.
Hope things work out for Paul and his family. And he carries on. I imagine Alicia has been inundated with requests for classic episode reviews. So let me add mine. I've just watched Robots of Death. Absolutely brilliant episode, Robots of Death.
Oh, hold on, what's that one?
The one with the robots of death, innit? Anyway, I'd quite like to hear what Alicia and yourself have to say about it. What, Robots of Death? That's totally one of the best stories ever.
Okay, can I watch it now?
That's one of the robots, you know, with the one is pretending that you can't speak.
Isabella, come here.
They keep, there's lots of murders going on and...
it's a robot.
The robots are doing
I remember that one now.
I bet you don't. Leela's in it. It's Leela's second story.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I'm sure
I like that one.
It's brilliant. Anyway, it says, keep up the good work, despite Isabella's best efforts to derail the podcast. I think it's more of Isabella and Alicia's best efforts, to be honest with you. Graham Sheridan, a regular contributor to Podshock, and he's got his own Second Doctor podcast. He said, "Hi, Adam, the latest show was very listenable." He's giving me training on podcasting. So, keep at it, you're making good progress, and thanks very much for the review. I have something else for you. If you like Big Finish, then you might want to have a look at my other podcast, Doctor Who Professor Howe. Haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I have downloaded it onto my iPod, so I'm ready when I get a chance to listen to that. Because I'm not on night shifts anymore, so podcast listening time has sort of decreased quite considerably, especially now I'm on my week off. Yes, Alicia?
It says, hi, Adam and Alicia.
Right. So the next one is, hi, Adam and Alicia. Big fan of your show, and I always look forward to when you release a new episode. I vote to keep Alicia on the show as she makes your podcast stand out above the other dribble currently out, which is quite ironic because Alicia comes out with dribble quite
consistently. I do not.
The dynamic you two have is perfect, and I would hate to see that go. Also, I got a kick out of hearing Isabella. On episode 15. I am the Doctor. I wish my 5-year-old was into Doctor Who like she is. Anyway, she's not really into it, is she?
Yes, she is. Isabella!
Come downstairs.
Come here, please.
Anyway, keep up the great work. I'm looking forward to episode 16. Well, here we are. And that's from, who is it from? Steve at TARDIS Tavern. Hey, and he says, hasta lo vego. Don't know what that means. Next one is from Draculasaurus, who always posts his feedback via the Podbean site. And he said, another great show. Well done, Adam. Adam, you can't seriously be considering doing the show without Alicia.
Thank you.
Jarl's interaction is a large part of the show's appeal.
Is he from Tennessee?
Don't know. The 20 megabyte podcast would be far less unique without her. By the way, esoteric means someone obscure who is understood by only a group of people.
Do you think he's looked at a dictionary?
Like alchemy, advanced physics, or unit dating.
Do you think he's quite smart? Or he looked at a dictionary. I think he's from Tennessee.
He probably knows, anyway. Right, next one was from Laura.
Who's Laura?
Don't know. This person who's posted this email.
Cool.
It says, hello, Alicia and Adam. Oh, and Isabella too.
See, everybody likes
Let me start off by saying I love the podcast. Really great work. So informative and very entertaining. I drive 40 miles on the way to work and I listen to various Doctor Who podcasts along the way. Alongside the Oodcast, I like yours the best. I don't think you should get rid of Alicia. I know she'll love to hear that, of course. She makes the show a blast, especially when she gets excited over something. Isabella is such a cute little laugh. I can't help but laugh with her. I'm pretty new to watching Doctor Who. Started really watching with Tennant and, of course, Matt Smith.
Yay.
I'm now going back to watch Eccleston.
Oh, Eccleston's good.
But I'm not enjoying him as much.
Oh.
I have a couple of questions for either you or Alicia to help me with. I've been doing some research on the Doctor's companions and have come across Romana, the companion of the Fourth Doctor, who is also from Gallifrey.
Yeah.
I thought the Doctor was the last of his species. If she is indeed from Gallifrey, where did she go and why is she not spoken of again in the series? I guess the same question goes for Susan, the Doctor's granddaughter. Anyway, thanks for the great podcast and keep up the good work.
Now, Can I answer it? Let's see if you can answer it correctly.
Okay.
It's because the Time War, when the Time Lords died, didn't happen when that before then with the first Doctor.
Would you like me to explain that in English?
With the first Doctor up to like the ninth, ninth and the eighth Doctor, the Time War hasn't happened yet, so that's why there's still loads of Doctors.
Shall I explain that in a bit more simplified method?
No, that
the
is
Time
simple.
War happened in apparently the time of the eighth Doctor, which caused him to regenerate into the ninth Doctor. So the fourth Doctor was around when all the Time Lords were still alive, and Romana. So apparently Romana is no longer, but we still don't know as far as some in the, End of Time, wasn't it? It was that woman with the hands over her eyes. We don't know if that's Romana or the Doctor's mother or
Susan. No, it's the Doctor's mother.
So,
Russell T. Davis says, and we still don't know if there's any, like, Susan's kind of like...
Well, like, apparently like, in the Time War, all the Time Lords were destroyed apart from the Doctor. Yeah, that's basically what happened. So,
yeah, but you don't really know if there was, like, you know, when Susan...
She might have had a pocket watch.
No, Susan... when she had kids, and the kids had the kids, but you don't know if it's a long relative.
You're rambling.
Yeah, but do you get what I mean? Can you explain it?
Well, if the Doctor is the last of the Time Lords, that means all the other Time Lords, including Romana and Susan, are dead. Which might explain...
He don't know about Susan, because he left her on Earth.
Which might explain as to why the Doctor's sometimes a bit miserable, because his family's all gone, and his whole world is gone.
No, his daughter's still alive.
Thank you. Moving on to the Alicia or no Alicia thingamajig. We've had a few positive answers.
Me.
Yes, well, this is Naveed. Naveed Mal. In my humble opinion, some shows without Alicia would be perfectly fine. The show feels like your show anyway, with or without Alicia being there. Although the verbal dynamics between you two are really, truly so enjoyable. It's like getting the quality Doctor Who podcast with the added attraction of a reality show thrown in. And boy, do you two make me laugh along. But in the end, as you, Adam, are hosting, it will always be the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Keep up the great work, Naveed Mal, Toronto, Canada. Now, Peggy Sevray, I think it would be okay either way. She is nice, but I know you get frustrated a lot. There you go. So that's the feedback, and yes, so
Peggy
far,
Mitchell's.
People seem to... Can you sit up?
No, because they were evil to me. They don't like me.
Right, you're out for 5 minutes.
What?
Sinbin, 5 minutes. You're back in 5 minutes. I'll carry on
that's
the show.
That's unfair!
I have observed that Stephen Moffat... Would you go away? Go away. There's no more feedback. This is me talking. I observed that the actor, Benedict Cumberbatch, what a mouthful that is, who is playing Sherlock in Stephen Moffat's other show, is hotly being ticked as a possible 12th Doctor, and I would agree that would be fantastic. He certainly has that doctorishness about him. So, but obviously I hope it doesn't happen for a while, because we want to try and keep Matt Smith in the role as long as possible. Obviously the Christmas special is now finished being filmed, according to Catherine Jenkins on Twitter, so they must be now filming Series 6, so starting to get a little bit excited about that. So, now, with her out of the room, I can actually get on with my Genesis of Doctor Who feature. I did actually start writing a book, writing a essay, I suppose you call it, on the whole of Doctor Who, episode by episode, but it became too much headache to actually go and watch each episode 3 or 4 times at a time to get as much detail as possible. But I did write this about the birth of Doctor Who. The father of Doctor Who is generally regarded as being Sidney Newman. Sidney was born in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, on April Fool's Day, 1917. His working life began as a photographer, but he switched careers into the moving pictures industry because he was unable to earn enough money from stills photography. He became a film editor at the National Film Board of Canada. During the Second World War, Sidney was promoted to film producer and made documentaries. After the war, he was recommended by his boss at the NFB, John Grierson, and moved to New York City to work for the NBC television network. He found the new medium fascinating, and with the help of his mentor, Grierson, in 1952 he joined the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Within 2 years, he became supervisor of drama production. He also oversaw General Motors theatre plays, some of which were purchased by the BBC. These plays impressed Howard Thomas, who was managing director of ITV's ABC network in East Midlands and North franchise of the new commercial station in the UK. He was soon offered the job of producer of the new thriller serial in England, where Newman moved in 1958. It wasn't long before Sidney was promoted to head of drama at ABC, and in 1961 he devised a legendary series, The Avengers. Kenneth Adam, director of television at the BBC, soon noticed Sidney's success and met with him at a pub where he offered him the position of head of drama. Sidney eagerly accepted the job. ABC forced him to see out his contract, though, but he started work at the corporation in December 1962. In 1963, BBC head of programmes, Donald Baverstock, made Newman aware of the need to bridge the gap between sports programme Grandstand in the early Saturday afternoon, and the pop music programme Jukebox Jury. Having been a fan of science fiction for a long time, and on the back of the success of the live production Quatermass Experiment 10 years earlier, Newman decided on a sci-fi serial for the vacant time slot. He conceived the idea of a mysterious alien who went by the name of the Doctor, concealing his real name as he was on the run from his own people. He also devised a time ship that was bigger on the inside. To develop the new concept, Newman enlisted the services of Scottish producer and playwright Donald Wilson and writer and playwright C.E. Bunny Webber. It was Webber who drafted the original script for the pilot episode, although BBC staff writer Anthony Coburn subsequently rewrote it. It was he who came up with the idea of the time machine being disguised as a police box. It was decided to make the TARDIS a constant to save set rebuilding costs. The police box was a common feature in London in 1963, so would be one logical disguise for an alien time machine. To produce the show, Newman initially approached Sean Sutton and Don Taylor, but both rejected the invitation, so he settled for one of his former production assistants at ABC, Verity Lambert. We'll pause there just a moment because Isabella's being silly. And would you go away, please? I'm doing a very serious piece here. What's the matter? Pardon? McDonald's? You got that from McDonald's?
No, I don't like.
You're not having a McDonald's at blimmin' 10 o'clock in the morning. Go away. Bye. Where was I? Right. Verity Lambert is considered commonly regarded as the mother of Doctor Who. She was born in London on the 27th of November 1935. After having studied at a secretarial college in London, she entered the television industry in 1956 as secretary in the press office at Granada, the ITV franchise for the northwest of England, although she was sacked from that job after 6 months. After that, she became the shorthand typist at ABC Television and soon became secretary to the head of drama there. She then became a production secretary on a programme called State Your Case, and then as a production assistant on the series Armchair Theatre. On the 28th of November 1958, she was working on the live production of The Underground, where actor Gareth Jones collapsed and died off-screen in between scenes. She had to take over control of the cameras from the gallery while director William Cotliff hastily worked with the actors during the commercial break while trying to work out how to continue the play without Mr. Jones' character. In 1961, Lambert left ABC to work for Talent Associates in New York. She briefly rejoined ABC before being recruited by Sidney Newman as the virgin producer of Doctor Who. When she arrived at the BBC, Verity was initially given a more experienced producer to assist her, Mervyn Pinfield. In casting the lead actor for Doctor Who, she referred to the 1963 film adaptation of David Storey's novel This Sporting Life, the first film to feature Richard Harris in a starring role, for which he won the Best Actor award at the Cannes that year. Outstanding in his supporting cast, playing the ageing rugby league scout known as Dad, was the 55-year-old actor William Hartnell. Hartnell was born in Marden, Kent, to an unmarried mother, Lucy Hartnell. He first entered the theatre in 1925, appearing in the film Say It With Music. Serving in the tank corps in World War II, but only serving 18 months after suffering a nervous breakdown. His first major television role was Sergeant Major Percy Bullimore in ITV's The Army Game. He had also appeared in the first of the Carry On films, Carry On Sergeant. Lambert, after advice from director Varys Hussein, turned to the 23-year-old actress Carol Ann Ford to play the Doctor's 15-year-old schoolgirl granddaughter, Susan. 38-year-old actor William Russell to play Susan's teacher, Ian Chesterton, and 33-year-old actress Jacqueline Hill to play Ian's friend and another of Susan's teachers, Barbara Wright. So there we go. That's the birth of Doctor Who. I hope that was interesting to you. Certainly filled a gap. Alicia, you can come back in now. Obviously, that is your last morning. Any further misbehaviour will see you permanently evicted from this episode of the show. Okay?
Okay.
Right.
Guess who I brought?
Yeah, well, can you put her down, please? What's the matter, Isabella?
She bought some Donalds.
Well, she's not going to get any, so...
Can she have some Donalds for lunch?
No!
I have Donalds.
No! You're not having... You're supposed to be going out with your... Wham!
Yeah, I got friends.
Yeah, and you're not going...
I want to go to friends.
Do you? We're talking about Doctor Who.
To Mel's house.
We're talking about Doctor Who.
Say something about Doctor Who, Isabella. Okay, bye. Love you.
News, right. French Doctor Who fans are petitioning the French...
Oh, no, she's crying. You made her cry.
I don't really mind. She's only crying because she thinks she's getting McDonald's.
No, she's actually crying.
Yeah, I'm not pandering to it. Right, French Doctor Who fans are petitioning the French DVD distribution company to release Series 4 of the show in France. Organised by the website Beans on Toast, the petition calls on France Television Distribution not only release the series in French language, but to ensure DVD releases of high quality. Series 1 to 3 have already been released and dubbed into French, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Can you imagine Doctor in French?
I'd rather not. Now, the Doctor Who Series 5 original soundtrack. Now, Murray Gold, his music from the fifth series of Doctor Who,
yes.
Has been reported to be released on CD by Silverscreen on the 8th of November. And it's the same day that the series is going to be released on DVD Strict Blu-ray.
Oh! The Doctor Who's going to be released on Blu-ray.
Every episode since Planet of... what's that planet one? The first of the specials. Anyway, the Dead Planet. Planet of the Dead, is it? Yeah.
Yeah,
they've all been released on Blu-ray. We haven't got a Blu-ray player, so we haven't been buying them.
But if we did have a Blu-ray player, would you get all the Doctor Who DVDs on Blu-ray?
I'd consider it. But can I continue?
Sorry.
Silver Screen have announced a track listing for the Wolfgang Doctor Who specials. Disc 1 features music from The Next Doctor, Planet of the Dead and Waters of Mars, while the second disc concentrates on The End of Time. Okay. US Torchwood comic has been published.
US comic trailer? Let's watch the trailer.
No, it's a comic thing. I'm not interested in that. And then we go back to the 7th of August. So not a lot of Doctor Who news this week because we already covered that in the last show.
Can we watch the trailer?
No, we can't. What was that stupid noise?
What are we doing now?
I'm going back to my notes to see if I've covered everything. What are you doing now? These new nails that you've got on, that you've stuck to your fingernails to stop you from biting your nails, you're biting them. Is that correct?
Did I do that?
No, you're still putting them in your mouth.
Yeah, but I'm doing this now.
Good.
Anyway, Dad, can I have some lunch?
No, it's 10:15 in the morning.
Yeah, me and Isabella always have lunch 10:15 in the morning.
Anyway, eBay.
eBay! Woo! I like the eBay thing.
You what?
I like the eBay thing, I said.
The eBay thing?
Yeah.
Yes, it's our special feature.
Does anybody else do it?
No, but it's funny you should say about other things that people do. You know, I did the podcast of the week. There's been a couple of other podcasts that have adopted that.
What's our podcast of the week?
What's our podcast of the week, do you think?
I'll tell you about that in a minute, but just remind me to tell you. The other thing was that, you know, we obviously have Isabella sometimes on the show.
Yeah, like
the Doctor Who podcast went and interviewed members of their child, members of their own family on the previous episode. I wonder where they got that idea from.
Okay, Isabella, we don't purposely put Isabella on the show. She just comes
in the
room.
She just wanders in, yeah. And then doesn't talk about Doctor Who at all.
She just goes, I want Donald's. I want this, I want that.
Nat. Do you Miss, know, you want this, you want that.
Do you know what I have to do in a minute? I have to go and watch Playhouse Disney with her.
Oh, marvellous.
I know, it's going to be fun.
Right. eBay. The most expensive item on eBay this week, which, will you be quiet, is, that's 26 days left to run. It's the Doctor Who Rare Unique Collection videos and more.
Let's see.
Yes. £5,000.
Oh, yeah, please.
£5,000.
It's like all of them.
Of them, yes.
Yeah, but I would have...
It says.
I wouldn't put that for...
Is it possible for you not to interrupt?
I don't know, but I wouldn't put it as £1,000.
Will you be quiet? It says this auction does not break any of the eBay's rules and regulations. Well, that's a good thing to start with. Unique Doctor Who collection, and I mean unique, you'll not find another collection like this anywhere. You get within this collection autographed books, an autographed shop display for Doctor Who books, autographed by John Pertwee, now sadly missed. Please click on the link to see almost a complete list of the rest of the items included. Rest of the list here, see what it says. Not going to really read them all out, we'll be here all day.
Woo! Let's be here all day.
Just to see if there's got anything interesting in it.
Cool. Oh, hang on. Oh my god.
Patrick, yeah, I know that, hang on. Patrick Troughton. Personal photographs, long lead. Oh, there's lots of stuff. I'm not reading that out. But anyway. £5,000 for a massive collection of Doctor Who memorabilia.
Let's see the one that's got a bid on then. Which one's got the most bids on?
Let's see what number two is first. So impatient. Number two, at £3,450,
did I say last time?
Full life-size Dalek licensed plus extras.
Did I say last time?
Was it? I suppose it would be. It says 23 days on that one. Number three is still... Screen News, BBC, Fool, Cyberman, Doctor Who, Costume, Dalek.
Oh my god, did you say postage free?
Well, it would be at that price. Moving down the list, we have, with six bids, and I think this was on it last week,
Look at that one.
Why?
Pick up only.
Okay. Is the recently made life-size bronze Dalek with LED light. It was on the show last week, but it's only got 1 day, 4 hours and 36 minutes left as we speak.
No, I saw
and
it.
It's currently at £2,050.22.
I think. I swear that was only one bid last week.
You swear that, do you?
Yeah, one bid last week.
I think it was, actually.
Let's see how much...
Six bids this week. And I'm not going to list, see who's bidding on it. Six bids so far.
Okay. I bidded on it.
You bidded on it?
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about something just a minute ago, and I said we'll talk about that in a minute. What was it?
Podcast of the Week.
Yes, Podcast of the Week. Bigger on the Inside, Podcast of the Week. They talked about the Planet of Spiders, which was one of my all-time favourite stories.
Yeah, that's a good story.
And we appear on it for 9 minutes at the end.
Oh.
That's not why it's my favourite episode, it's just... I love Bigger on the Inside.
I just noticed something, Dad.
What?
You're wearing your Doctor Who t-shirt on a Doctor Who podcast.
Anyway... you've completely set me off.
We were talking about...
Bigger on the Inside, yeah. Well, I'm currently listening to all the Bigger on the Insides from the beginning now, and it's really, really good. Please, listen to Bigger on the Inside. It's an excellent show. They're currently one I'm listening to. I can't remember which episode it is, but it's they've just done the Dalek Master Plan.
Oh.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And we'll be looking at some of those old episodes
from
next week onwards. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Series 1 of Doctor Who.
We are.
See if you can remember. I would talk about the episodes. We're not doing an episode a week. It's a series a week, and we're just going to see if we can jog your memory on those particular stories. Just see if there's anything in your brain that's sunk in.
I'm only an expert on the new series.
Yes, but you've watched it all. I know you've watched it all once, and it was a couple of years ago. But I just want to see if any of it's sunk in.
Yeah, but I've watched all the new series 3 times.
Oh, marvellous.
I know.
So. I think that's probably about it for this week. probably a bit of a poor standard episode, I think.
Yeah, no, it's not really funny. Really, it's not really funny this week. It's been quite... I bet that person who listens to it for 5 minutes will listen to it for 5 minutes and get bored.
5 seconds, probably.
Yeah. No one's going to listen to it this week. It's just a rubbish episode.
I don't aim to be funny, Isabel. What's your name again?
Would you stop getting my name wrong?
Yeah, well, I don't aim to be funny.
Yeah, but why do you keep getting my name wrong?
There's lots of people in this house to remember the names of.
Right.
Why are you doing all stupid squeaky?
Yeah, but hold on. We've got Magic and Star, which are dogs.
Yeah.
We got Mum...
Who's Mum, yeah?
Yeah, who's Mum? And you got me and Isabella.
Well,
Isabella's the small one, and I'm the big one.
I get the dog's names mixed up. I get your mum's name.
You are going to lose your memory when you're
old. My memory?
Your memory when you're old.
Yes, anyway.
I think I've got a blocked nose again.
Anyway, I was looking at our hits on the website, and it seems that we have an average of about 100 listeners.
That's rubbish.
Per week.
That's rubbish.
It's rubbish?
Yeah. We should have 200.
Oh, nice, right? Some of our episodes have got up to 200, but yeah. I think we've got a hardcore, that's a word for...
Fans.
Yeah, no, we have a hardcore...
No, I don't know what you mean.
Ah, shush. Of fans that were sort of, support the show.
That's cool.
You know.
Do you know, that looks like the witch's hand. Sorry, yeah. Carry on.
Anyway, I can't think of the word now. Fans of loyal. Loyal fans, that's the word.
Oh,
loyal listeners. We have a hardcore of about 100 loyal listeners, and we thank you.
Bless them.
If we only have one loyal listener, we'd be...
That's you.
But I'd rather we had more, obviously. I think we need to do a bit of... publicity. So we've got to record some publicity things for things like the TARDIS Tavern... and stuff, and hopefully they'll play it for us.
I don't know.
No, shut up.
the TARDIS Tavern likes us.
Yes, and we like them.
Can you listen to that?
Would you mind going away? I'll read the email addresses out, and you can go and shut the dog up.
Okay.
Right. Yes, feedback addresses. We have the 20meg@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback. @hotmail.co.uk. You can also leave a comment at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.potbean.com, and that's the number 20 MB Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. No www's on that one. Also, you can see us via our Facebook group, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, or you can find me as my pseudonym to add as a friend if you like. The 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Also, you can contact me on Twitter or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/AdamDPearson. And also, the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance is a rather good place to find Doctor Who podcasts, and that's http://www.DoctorWhoPodcastAlliance.org. iTunes is the other way. You can leave a sort of comment feedback via the iTunes feed. I think I've just about followed it, haven't I? Managed to get to the end of the episode. If you're still awake, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. I'll just see if Alicia wants to say goodbye. Alicia?
Yeah?
Do you want to say goodbye?
Yeah?
You have to come up here.
No, I don't want to come upstairs.
No, she doesn't.
She does. Ow, ow, ow!
There's no point bringing the dog onto and demolishing the room. And don't let her trample all over my paperwork. Shush.
Sorry. Thanks, honey.
Anyway.
Honey, sorry.
Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Oh, hold on. Let me say bye. Bye.
Right, with her out of the way, I can now talk about my new scheme for helping to fund the programme. As I said in the previous episode, I have... actually listed my book The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin on eBay, and obviously anybody who buys that book, the money will go straight into funding the podcast. So if you go onto eBay and search The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, you will find that book. Further information regarding the synopsis is actually in the blurb on there. So I appreciate it if you had a look at that. You don't have to buy it, obviously. It's entirely up to you. That will be listed for 7 days. But it is a good book. We've always had some very good feedback from people who have bought it and read it. It's not Doctor Who related, but it's a good work of fiction, and I'm very proud of it. So, yes, eBay. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, and my book is The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin. Thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye. And you can find the first ever Doctor Who podcast fan game of Where in the World is Colin Baker at www.titaniumbunker.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.